Welcome to Messenger International. Messenger International, a ministry founded by John and Lisa Bevere, is passionate about imparting the fear of the Lord and inspiring freedom in your life.
One of the fruits of grace is holiness. Everybody say holiness. All right, now it's not discussed much in our churches these days, and there's two reasons, all right? First, the abuse that has been dished out. There's been preachers in the past that have literally abused people with a legalistic holiness. Are you following me? I mean, it was reduced down to this cheap outward form of people, the way they dress, the way they wear their hair, the fact they never even looked at a dance floor. I mean, women wear their hair up in a bun. They'd wear no makeup. They'd wear no jewelry. They'd have their dress down to an ankle. But how many of you know a woman can have her hair up in a bun, no makeup, no jewelry, have a dress down to her ankle, and still have a seducing spirit up to her eyeballs? That is not holiness. Can you say amen to that? A man can brag that he has never been divorced before, but lust after every woman that walks by him. That's not holiness. Amen. That is a good place to say amen. So people were beat up by that legalism, and they got free from it. But some of them, not without consequences. They were scalded by that legalism. Are you with me? There's a proverb that says, a scalded cat will fear even the cool water. What does that mean? When a cat was scalded by boiling water, now the cool water, which will bring that cat refreshing, that cat will retract and run from. Are you following me? If you look at holiness, what happened was you mentioned that word holiness to some people that were burned by legalistic holiness, and they retract. I've seen people do it. It's tragic. Secondly, the reason maybe people have drawn back from preaching holiness is it takes effort on our parts. Many avoid preaching it not to lose the appeal of the gospel. But let me say this. The Bible says that we, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I think we're doing people a disservice by not preaching on it. Because I personally find holiness as very, very appealing. And the reason is twofold. Number one, it has to do with the life to come. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see God. Revelations 22, verse 4, one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. Have you noticed I got a lot of favorite scriptures yet? It says that the overcomers are going to see his face. What Moses was denied, we're going to see. We're going to behold his face in all of his glory. Are you with me? That's why I want to pursue holiness. Are you with me? The other reason it is important for us to pursue holiness is because the Bible says, without holiness, again, no one will see the Lord. That also applies to this life. Because the Bible makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse, that we are changed from glory to glory as we behold him. That means as we're beholding him now. If we're not walking in holiness, we don't have the ability to behold him in our hearts. Therefore, we're not being changed. We're getting information, but not being changed. And that is a recipe for becoming religious. Are you with me? So I don't know about you. I find that holiness is an exciting subject because the Bible makes it clear Jesus is not coming back for a sin-filled church. He's coming back for a holy church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is the one description of the church the Bible says Jesus is coming back for. So why aren't we preaching more about it? Are you with me? Good place to shout amen. All right, now I want to talk to you out of the book of Thessalonians. Paul writes in the 4th chapter. This is amazing, amazing words. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you. Do you notice the tone of his voice? We urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. Everybody say, pleases God. As we have taught you, you are doing this already, and we encourage you to do more and more. Everybody say, more and more. For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. How direct is that? It pleases God when we live holy, especially in our sexuality. This is the area that usually goes haywire outwardly if there is a deeper problem inwardly. Are you following me? It could be pride, it could be rebellion, it could be a lust for power, it could be bitterness, etc. But this is the inward problem. Many times it will create the outward problem of sexual impurity. But the foundational root of the whole thing is a lack of the fear of the Lord. Let me say this. Though sexual purity is not the full definition of holiness, sexual impurity certainly identifies the lack of it. Do I need to say that again? Though sexual purity is not the full definition of holiness, sexual impurity certainly identifies the lack of it. All right, Paul made it so clear. We are to abound more and more. We are to flee from all forms of sexual immorality. In regard to its severity, Paul writes to the Romans and says this. It's amazing. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only who do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's a strong warning. But what really gets my attention is it's not only those who practice it, but those who approve of those who practice it. Man, if you're in leadership, you need to take heed on these words. That means if you're a civil leader and you're responsible for making laws, let's think about this. If you're a spiritual leader or you're a pastor of a church, let's be considering this. Remember the Apostle Paul, the letter he had to write to the leaders of the Corinthian church when they were overlooking many times can be condoning a man who was actually sleeping with his stepmother, and they were allowing it to go on. Are you following me? Look at Eli, who knows his two sons are committing adultery with women that are gathered at the door of the tabernacle, yet he overlooks it, and a prophet comes and says, you have lost your priesthood because of you overlooking your sons, and you honored your sons more than honored me, God said. Are you with me? You know, it's really, really, really something that is important that we should talk more about. Are you with me? For a believer to go against his Christ-given nature and become enslaved to sexual immorality is a very serious offense. All right? In fact, and see here, let me say this. The good news is we've been given his nature. Oh, I'll be talking about this. You just got to realize when his nature came in you, he freed you from the dominion of sin. We talked about it in the last session, and I'm going to go into it really heavy in the second to last session when I talk about how easy it should be for a believer to walk in the Spirit and not be dominated by their flesh. Can't wait for that. Preview of things to come. All right? So now, Paul says this. I'm going to keep reading his words here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now we're going to continue on to verse 6, 7, and 8. Paul says, we have told you this before, and we strongly, listen to his words, we strongly warned you that the Lord will punish those who do that. Do what? Live in sexual immorality. God did not call us to live in immorality, but in holiness. So then whoever rejects this teaching is not rejecting a human being, but they are rejecting God. That's strong words, folks. Why have we not stressed this? Why have we not stressed Paul's warning? You know, I was eating lunch last year with, I believe, an apostle. He has 250 churches underneath him. And he said, John, we were talking about this. He said, John, he said, I'm so concerned for the American church. He said, we're not talking about this. I mean, I'm telling you, I know people that say, you know what, John? I know people that are attending this church, evangelical church, preaches the new birth, and they're living together. Now, I can understand if they've just been going for 2 months and they just got saved. We got to clean up the fish. How many of you know that, right? We catch them, then we clean them, right? So we should be having all kinds of sexually immoral people come into our services so they can get saved and eventually cleaned up really quick by the word. But when these people have been going to this church for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and they're still living together, what's being preached in these churches? But he was at lunch with me, and he was saying, you know, last year my wife was doing a woman's meeting, and she was teaching women about how to really minister to their husbands. Well, this one woman, he said, came up to my wife when she was done with the woman's meeting and said, I am so excited about what you preached. My boyfriend has not been having sex with me lately. And she said, I know now why he's not doing it. I'm going to make the changes, and I know my boyfriend's going to start having sex with me again. And then she said, praise God. Thank you for what you preached. I said, you're kidding me. She really said that. He said, she really said that. I said, man, what are we teaching in the American church? Are you with me? See, here's Paul writing this so strongly. But yeah, what? It makes people uncomfortable. Why? Because you messing with my idol that I got in my closet. Don't be messing with my idol. Don't be messing with my pet sin. No, let me tell you something. I've been bound by lust and I've been free. And I'm going to tell you, freedom is so much sweeter. 1985, May the 6th, God delivered me. And I'm telling you what, freedom is sweet. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I could go off on that one. Many people have been stunned and even lost their passion because of sexual immorality. Lisa and I were sitting at lunch last year with a leader who just sat there, and you could see how heavy his heart was because he's got a lot of actresses and models in his church. And he said, you know, we had a traveling minister that came in and basically violated a couple of her women. He said, I saw the fire die in them. I saw the sadness that came over their life. He said, John and Lisa, he said, what are we coming to? This is a leader that travels in churches. We got to speak on this because Paul wrote about this. God talks about it. It's not something we just kind of just sweep under the carpet and ignore and just hope that people just assume that they get it. Are you with me? Whoever rejects this teaching is not rejecting man, but he's rejecting God. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, a church that in many ways is similar to our Western church today. Some of their members were engaged in sexual immorality, and Paul brought the hammer down because listen carefully to what he said. He said, remember our history, friends, and be warned. Everybody say warned. All of our ancestors were led from the enslaving death to salvation life. They all drank from the rock, and that rock was Christ. But just experiencing God's grace, everybody say grace, didn't seem to mean much to most of them because they were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert. Remember, it's the hard times when the enemy comes. And God was not pleased. Now listen to what he says. The same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did, for the people partied and then they threw a dance. We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that. Remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. Wow. We must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. These are all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our position in the story is parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable as messing it up as they were. Don't be naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. We're not exempt by a cover-up grace. Grace has been so misrepresented as God's big cover-up. You know what I'm talking about? I know I'm not quite living the way I should, but thank God for his grace. We have learned in earlier sessions that is not what grace is. Grace is God's empowerment to give us the ability to live what truth demands of us. Can you say amen to that? All we have to do is cooperate with our new nature. The apostles wrote a letter in the book of Acts that I think is absolutely amazing. The leading apostles, they all got in unison, they prayed and they wrote this letter and said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us. So in other words, this letter was written by God through them coming together. The leading apostles wrote in unison to all believers of the four things we should particularly pay close attention to concerning abstinence. Everybody say abstinence. Three of the four were the fundamental reason for having to write the letter. They were these three things: eating things offered to idols, eating blood, and eating things that were strangled. These, of course, were all forbidden in the law of Moses. And the apostles determined that they were to be carried into the new covenant, the New Testament, as well. Are you with me? However, what I find interesting is that the apostles added another, not as unique to the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Listen to what they added. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden than necessary than these necessary things. Everybody say necessary things. That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. How amazing. They didn't say stealing. They didn't say lying. They didn't say murder or coveting. No, the one that they brought over, because they wanted to make sure that the Gentiles and the Jews both, who were new believers, understood this, was to abstain from sexual immorality. Isn't it interesting? They didn't say in their letter, we strongly urge you to abstain from stealing. They didn't say that. The one they added was sexual immorality. The other three were basically huge differences between the Jews and the Greeks, because the Jews, you know, were forbidden in the Old Testament to eat things strangled, to eat things offered to idols strangled and stuff. But they said, you know what? There's one more we want to particularly throw in here, and that's abstaining from sexual immorality. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, Peter says, don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be. Everybody say must be. Must be. Here's one of those must be commands. You must be holy in everything you do. Just as God is holy, for he himself has said, you must be holy, for I am holy. Hear his words, you must be. Everybody say must be. Must be. Holy in everything you do, just as God is holy. Okay? I look at this and I go, as God is holy? You understand what Peter's writing? You must be holy as God is holy. Remember what I said in an earlier session. God never gives us a command in the New Testament. He doesn't give us the power to live it. Peter goes on to say in the 17th verse that we're going to be judged on this at the believer's judgment. How we handled this exhortation. Are you with me? To be holy as God is holy. Again, we are to be perfect as he. How? We've been given the nature of Jesus Christ. See how we've robbed believers in America by not telling them what we've been given when we got saved by grace. We just told them we got forgiven of our sins and we're going to heaven, but we didn't tell them we were given the nature of Jesus. So how many people in the church are still struggling in their sexual immorality and their unholy behavior? And I'm going to tell you something, they really don't want to be. 100% of the true Christians that I've met that are struggling in these areas, especially sexual immorality, they don't want to be doing it. You want to know what's really sad? They haven't been told that they've been given the nature of Jesus Christ and that that sin doesn't have dominion over them anymore. Are you here? Oh my, my. This is so good. All right, now, I want to look at the word holy. The word holy comes from the Greek word hagios, all right? Some of the words used to define this word are set apart, sanctified, consecrated, pure, morally blameless. Its fundamental idea is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of God, and sharing in his purity, all right? In the Old Testament, now let me make this really clear. God's people were to be literally separate as a nation. Jews were not permitted to keep company with Gentiles. However, in the New Testament, we believers are to separate ourselves from the evil while living among and interacting with the world. Why? Why did God have them separate in the Old Covenant? Because they didn't have the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what the world had could easily rub off into them. But when you go out as a light, are you with me? You overcome darkness. Darkness doesn't overcome you. See, I look at Jesus. Jesus dominated the atmosphere wherever he went. I mean, he walks into a temple. There's a demonized man. He starts screaming out. He goes into the parties. A lot of Christians couldn't go to the parties he went to. You want to know why? If the sinner is stronger in his sin than you are in God, he will control the atmosphere. But if you are stronger in God than the sinner is in his sin, you will control the atmosphere. Are you with me? That's good news. Grace not only justifies us, but empowers us to serve God acceptably. Remember that? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. How do we serve him acceptably? With reverence and godly fear. Why godly fear? Because the Bible says we perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Now, do you see how they all interact? Are you seeing this? Grace gives us the power, the ability to serve God acceptably, which is in reverence and which is in godly fear. And godly fear gives us the ability to walk away from all sin. Listen to what Paul says. This is amazing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, we beg you who have received God's grace, not let it not be wasted. I'm going to back up here. Let me read, first of all, Paul's words to the church in 2 Corinthians 7:1, all right? Paul says, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Everybody say, cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Are you seeing this? Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from some filthiness, all filthiness, of the flesh and spirit. What would spiritual filthiness be? Gossip, slander, strife, bitterness, right? What would the fleshly be? Well, that's pretty obvious. Are you following me? Yeah. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the love of God, in the fear of God. It is by the fear of the Lord we work out our salvation. It is by the fear of the Lord that we perfect holiness. You can see it in Peter's words. That's why the fear of the Lord is so important. Now, notice Paul says in that verse, let us cleanse ourselves. Everybody say, cleanse ourselves. Do you notice he doesn't say the blood of Jesus will cleanse you? Well, now, wait a minute, John. You telling us the blood of Jesus doesn't cleanse us? No, I didn't say that. See, we cannot confuse the work of justification with the work of sanctification. Now, those are big words, so let me explain it. What is the work of justification? Justification is what happened to you the moment you gave your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Immediately, you were born again. The nature of Jesus Christ was put on the inside of you, and you became just like Jesus on this earth. Your spirit was perfect in the eyes of God. At that moment, the work of sanctification begins. What is sanctification? Sanctification is another word for holiness. That is what is done on the inside of you works its way to the outside. Are you with me? Now, this one, we had nothing to do with it, right? But this one, we have to cooperate with. We have to cooperate with the power of grace to work it out. That's why Paul says, cleanse yourselves. Are you with me? Because just a few verses earlier, he said this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We beg you, you who have received God's grace, not to let it be wasted. Everybody say wasted. Now, if you look at grace as the big cover-up, as many in America have seen it, how could you ever understand that verse? How could you ever waste the grace of God? How could you ever receive it in vain, another translation says? That means not to use its full potential. But when you understand that grace is God's empowering presence that gives us the ability to live as Jesus lives, then we can understand how we can waste it. Let's go back to Island Man. Remember Island Man? Okay, here comes Messenger. He gives him the gun. Messenger tells Island Man, hey, this gun will get you off the island, but also completely tells him that the gun will shoot the deer, it will shoot the bear, shows him the cave, right? Messenger then goes back to the 21st century, and he and his boss now watch through the time machine Island Man. But to their dismay, you know what they're seeing? Island Man's still sleeping on that big boulder. He's still shivering at night. He's not using the gun. They still see him trying to throw sticks to kill deer. So they fast forward to 11 days afterwards, to after Messenger had left. And Island Man still, he's got that 7mm gun. He's ready to fire it when that ship comes. But he's still throwing rocks at the deer. And he's still sleeping on that boulder. Then they go to the 13th day. And finally, he's got the gun in his hand. And they notice that he kind of wanders right by a mother bear's den. And here comes the mother bear out, just charging right at Island Man. And they're thinking, okay, what's he going to do? And Island Man raises the gun. And they think, okay, he's going to use it. And he puts it in the air and shoots it, hoping the loud noise will scare the mother. And what does the mother bear do? She comes and kills him. What do Messenger and the employer say? He wasted our gift. He fell short of the goal that we set for him. Now, would you listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15? Pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. How do you fall short of the grace of God? Island Man fell short. He didn't use what was given to him. All that money, all that effort was paid and exerted to give him not only a way to get off that island, but to live extraordinarily and successfully on that island as a stranded man. But yet he received the gun in vain. He wasted it. Are you getting something out of this? Now, I'm going to tell you again, we can look at this as the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. What this does is really excites me, because I really realize now that what used to be very difficult for me to live a holy, godly life before I understood what I'm sharing with you is now attainable. Because it's not in my ability. It's in his ability. See, that way God gets the glory, not us. Let me help some of you, because I think maybe some people are still struggling. Let's say somebody gives you a car and you're trying to get from here to New York. And you know what the law is? The law is trying to walk there. Now, there's a little flaw in my example, because you literally could walk to New York, but you never can earn approval with God by trying to keep his laws. But let me tell you what grace is. Grace is getting in that car, turning it on, and driving there. You didn't exert one bit of effort in walking to New York. You drove there. That's what grace does for us. Grace empowers us. We've got to, this is what I want you to think. When you hear the word grace, I want you to think empowerment. I want you to think the ability to live as Jesus lives. That's what I want. That's what I believe God wants you to think when you hear the word grace. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. Now listen, Isaiah writes this, and I think I'm just about out of time, but I want to read this to you. Isaiah 35, verse 8 through 10. Isaiah says, there will be a highway there called the Road of Holiness. No sinner will ever travel on that road. No fools will mislead those who follow it. No lions will be there, nor fierce animals will pass that way. Those whom the Lord has rescued will travel home by that road. They will reach Jerusalem, which is heaven, with gladness and singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever and ever and ever, and sorrow and grief shall flee away. Isaiah says there's a road called the Highway of Holiness. When you walk that highway, that higher way, see what God is saying when he says, be holy as I'm holy. You know what he's really saying? He's saying, you know what? I don't think like you. I don't live like you. I don't talk like you. Come up to my level of living. When we walk in that highway, the Bible says no one will go astray. Do you understand the promise there that when you walk in holiness, you can't be deceived? Peter echoes these words. Listen to what he says. He says, but those who fail to develop these virtues, what are the virtues Peter's talking about? The virtues of holiness. He said, are blind. Everybody say blind. At least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So he is talking to believers. So by not walking in holiness, they easily lose the memory that they've been cleansed of their former sins. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those who God has called and chosen. Do this, you will never stumble or fall away. See what Peter's saying right there? You will never stumble, you'll never be deceived if you pursue holiness. Why? Because no lion will be there, no beast. Whoever walks this road will not go astray, God says. Do you understand when we walk in holiness by the power of God's grace, the promise that God gives, you'll never, ever fall away. I don't know about you, but that is very exciting to me. Now, when we understand the benefit of holiness, why haven't we preached it? And besides, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to hang around in the barnyard with the turkeys when God has called me to soar with eagles. That's basically what God is saying. He's saying, man, I don't think like you. I don't live like you. Come up to my level of living, baby. So this is what I say. This is what the Word of God says. Pursue holiness. You do that, and you'll have a clear image of Jesus, and you'll change from glory to glory.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. Our hope is to release you into a fulfilled life in Christ. Connect with us today by visiting our website at messengerinternational.org. Here you can sign up to receive updates from John and Lisa, search for additional resources, and look at John and Lisa's schedule to see when they'll be in an area near you. Be transformed.